This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the upcoming draft, the lottery is coming soon, and we've been breaking down new players every single day. Today is no different. We have a new player, and obviously with the lottery getting closer, it's going to be exciting to figure out where we're actually going to be getting our pick. Today we're going to be talking about Ayo Dosunmu. He's from Illinois. He's a guard, a point guard, who really is a true combo guard, has the capability of playing that shooting guard, off the ball, you know, really has a lot of game. He has a lot of skill, and I've been really impressed with what I've seen. To me, he seems like a top 10 pick, and that's what Dave and I are going to talk about, is where he fits into the draft.
Yeah, man, this is, to me, one of those no-brainers, going to be a big-time player in the NBA. The way that he's able to use his size, 6'5", 6'7", wingspan is a really big thing for a college athlete that's coming into the NBA. You need the size. I'm sorry, he has 6'9" wingspan, not 6'7". This is insane. This is the prototypical type of player that Sam likes. His wingspan is 4 inches longer than his height. Like Mark said, the combo guard, he's 21 years old. He's a little bit older than what we like to have on this Thunder team coming in. But the reality is his experience at Illinois is really amazing. Being that he is part of a Power 5 conference team right here, you have to be able to look at and circle the fact is that he is the best player on this team. He's led this team. He did an amazing job all year. They leaned on him a lot. And I'm really impressed with the outcome of what he was able to do. Almost shot 40% from three-pointers. Almost 50% from the field goal range. But the most impressive thing about his game that I consistently circle is his jump shot, the way that he is able to drive to the hole hard and pull up on a jump shot, creating a massive separation, is NBA ready. It's probably even the best in the draft at his position, the way that he is able to play. Adding to that is his scoring ability in clutch situations means that he is ready to play right now on an NBA team. I really feel after watching him play and the way that he was able to destroy other teams with his teammates at Illinois was impressive. It was like the ball was made to be in his hands at the end of games. That is how I continuously saw him. Coaches would make sure that he had the ball in his hands at the end of game. The way that he has this twitchy crossover and twitchy moves getting to the hole is really stinking impressive. It almost reminds me, I was telling Mark about this, is that his crossover is so deadly. It really reminds me of a young AI crossover and a little bit of an SGA with a twitchy movement to it. It's really insane. To me, this is going to be a signature move in the NBA. We're going to see it a lot. He's going to make people look foolish a lot. And that's one of the things I love about this young man. He already has a signature move with that crossover and pull-up jump shot. His defense is intense. His on-ball defense goes crazy. It drives the opponents crazy. And this is what I think is amazing, is that early in games, you could tell he's working really, really hard on the defensive side, and he's really trying to get into the guy's head. By the end of the game, he's in the guy's head. He has laid a flag in there, and they are stumbling and having a hard time finishing simple plays, finishing simple shots. That's the way that Ayo does the things that he does for Illinois. I am blown away by this young man, and he fits that timeline that Mark and I really, really like. He averaged 20.1 points a game, 6.3 rebounds, 5.3 assists, and like I said, almost 50% from field goal range. 1.1 steals, and, you know, not enough blocks to really mention it, but 0.2 blocks a game. To me, like, this is exactly the best, you know, I would say Mark and I are talking about it. We have to put him at probably the sixth best, fifth best guard in the draft. The reason that he is sitting at number 22 on the ESPN list is because the fact is his age is being one of those negative things for him. The way that he plays pick and roll, though, is insane. I would almost say that he is a pick and roll god. The way that he directs the traffic, the way that he uses the big man that's setting a pick, the way that he is able to consistently move where he does things. I even saw this one time that he used the pick and roll with a crossover. It was insane. Like, the guy comes up to set a screen, he uses his crossover, and then he does another crossover that goes right around the guy. There wasn't even a defender within 3 feet of him when he finished. This is the type of guy that uses the game to his advantage. He has an insane IQ on offense, and that to me is one of those things that you have to like. And the one of the things that most of all that I like about him is that Colin Sexton hair that he has. That is awesome. He's got to keep it flowing.
Yeah, man, for me, I look at him as, you know, really the third best traditional point guard in this draft. You have like players like Josh Giddey who play point guard and are more like the Luka Doncic style point guard, which is the new, you know, almost like a point forward, even though they are a true point guard. They have like the size of a power forward. But, you know, when you look at Jalen Suggs and you look at Davion Mitchell, and then you look at Ayo. You know, I think in the end, you know, that's the order of the draft, in my opinion, of the traditional point guards. And he really does play a combo. I mean, if you were to say this guy will be as good as Bradley Beal, right? If you could guarantee that, where would he go in the draft? You know, there's no way that he would fall outside the top 10. You know, you just couldn't see that happening, even in a draft that was completely stacked like this one. I mean, Bradley Beal is an amazing player. And yes, he's 21 years old, and I understand why that seems like it could be a drawback, but he really plays an outstanding brand of basketball that will translate into the NBA. And, you know, we've drafted players that were 19, and they needed to spend some time in the G League. And I think this guy, you know, has taken a course that has really proven to be a positive thing for him. He won the Bob Cousy Award for the top point guard in the country, but really, to me, what I think his best attribute is his ability to score. Now, people have questions about his shot, and if that question wasn't there, then I think he would easily be a top 10 pick. But, you know, in this draft, there's all sorts of questions, but this idea that he might fall to the 20th, you know, or outside of the top 20, is just ridiculous. And if it happens, then, you know, in the end, I hope that we find a way to score an extra pick in that area. He is going to make a lot of teams regret not picking him. And that's going to happen a lot in this draft. But I really think he has elite talent. He should be up there in the top 10. The only reason he's not really has nothing to do with him. I mean, he's played incredible. You know, there's a couple other players who play the same position as him that look like they have the chance to be, you know, Hall of Famers. And here he is. And, you know, I saw him playing and, you know, he doesn't get a lot of props for his quickness. But, you know, I saw like De'Aaron Fox level quickness. Now, his speed isn't the same level, right? De'Aaron Fox, after he gets past people in the open court, those next two steps, three steps, yeah, that's where he pulls away, and you don't see anybody catch up with him. I didn't really see that, but what I did see was that level of quickness. And, you know, his defensive effort is on point every single time. These are things that we look for. And the question marks about his shot hurting his value is also something that we look for. And I think if we could snag him at 18, that would be incredible. And if we could trade back and somehow get, you know, a couple of picks for that 18 spot and be able to pick him up at around 25 or maybe even the first pick of the second round, that would be incredible. I don't think that's a realistic thing. And if that happens, you know, that would really be amazing. But he's such a high-level talent. I think a team like Miami has to be looking at him and thinking, you know, we can really make a player like that work with our team. I really think that they have to be looking for their point guard of the future. So a team that, you know, is in that range where they feel like they have trouble getting, you know, a lottery level talent, this is a great steal. I would love to have him on our team. But like Dave said, you know, when you start looking at his skill set, it's so elite that there's just no way that he doesn't get the level of attention and get picked up somewhere between, you know, 18 and 25 if he's not done, way sooner, which you know, it probably won't happen this draft because of how stacked it is, but, you know, he has a legit chance to be a top five player in this draft, and at the same time, he may not go in the top 20.
Man, here's the thing about Io that I love, and I have to say this, you know, the way that I'm looking at it, and you said that you think that he's in the top five, guards in this draft. To me, there is a separation between him and Jalen Green, and there's a couple other guys that I would say that are more ready to go in the NBA right now. But the reality is, there's not a lot of players in this draft that I would say that fit this this team like a glove, and he is just one of those players. Io is one of those players that really stands out to both Mark and I. We have a really good feeling about him, and I really hope that he's sitting there at 18, because it would be great to be able to see a draft pick like that go there. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of great players on the board, so I'm not going to be completely disappointed if we don't get Io on this team. But looking at this, to me, this is one of those opportunities that we have to circle, and we have to say this is a legit player that we could pick up late in this draft for a minimal price. And that's something that we get excited about, because this is the type of player that really allows you to be a better championship team and a better contender.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I look at Jalen Suggs and I think he has a chance to be a transcendent level talent. I look at Davion Mitchell and think, you know, he has a chance to go out there and, put up like 30 points a game and also kick in, you know, 7, 8, 9 assists a game. And I look at Io as has a chance to somehow keep up with them. And, like, I think the other guards that I mentioned aren't defensively as prepared to play right away. And while everybody will focus on the offensive end, when you get to the NBA, your coach is going to focus on that defensive end. And if you can't earn those minutes, which I'm sure those guys will get minutes because of how high they're drafted, but if you can't, you know, defend your position in the NBA, then you're going to be spending a lot of time dealing with that. And yeah, I mean, I'm not saying these guys can't. I'm sure they'll be fine defenders. But he will come into the NBA with defense being a major plus, and with that, that will be his calling card. And if you can do that in the NBA, then anything is an opportunity for you. Anything. You know, you'll find yourself in the spot where Lou Dort was, where Al Horford found him to hit that three at the end of the game. You'll find yourself in a spot where, you know, Houston is daring you to shoot like they did with Harden. You know, if they think that you have a weakness, they're going to force you to work on it. And I understand his shot is a question. He needs to work on... I wouldn't say his shot needs a lot of work, although that's what I've read people, they've kind of come to that conclusion. What I would say is he needs to work on shooting the ball in NBA situations, like the pick and roll when the screener goes under the screen. Like, as that becomes fluid with him, he's going to really be able to make teams pay. He's going to really benefit from the space in the NBA. And if there wasn't two players that play his position that look like, to me, as surefire as picking an all-star as you can get at this stage, then he really would be, that top three. I really think so. But when you have those two guys, plus you have a couple of other guys that have their ceilings are just unlimited, then you kind of find yourself in a spot where he can fall and fall and fall. It reminds me a lot of like how Aaron Rodgers fell, you know, like there wasn't that many teams that needed a quarterback. And the one that did, it was either going to be Aaron Rodgers or Alex Smith. And when he didn't get picked first, he was almost picked last of the first round. I mean, he went in the 20s and it was a free fall. And that's what we're looking at here. And to say like, oh yeah, we know which one of these guys is going to be the best is really, really, you know, not true. And I really think that he could be the best. I think his age will be held against him. And I think when you look at his overall talent, I think Sam Presti will have to come to, you know, to a decision. Like, do you always go for the youngest player when you have a player at this talent, you know, that legitimately would be a top five pick in last year's draft? But this year, because the way that his position is stacked, he's I mean, honestly, I don't think you could pick Anthony Edwards in front of him. I really don't think so. I really think he could go number one in last year's draft, given the situation. He's that elite of a talent, but he just kind of got overshadowed by a couple of outstanding guards who got all the press. But man, I mean, he grew up in Chicago. I'm pretty sure he's used to being overlooked, right? But like at this point, you know, he's going to come on and he could be a D-Wade level talent. I mean, there's just no question.
Yeah, man. And that's why for me looking at it like this is that a player like this sitting at 22 is completely unheard of. And it's why I consistently say this to Mark and everything that we're looking at is how many or what can we do to improve our odds to getting more picks in this draft? Because the reality is if we could end up with four or five first round draft picks in this draft, we'll be sitting in a really pretty area. Obviously, that means a lot of wheeling and dealing is going to have to happen. But right now, we're sitting with two, possibly even three with Houston's. I mean, right there, you've got so many different possibilities of things that we could do and places that we could go with this. And to me, looking at how everything is going to end up falling out, I really do think that there's an opportunity for us to pick up the three or four guys' spots on the team that we'll have open. After the Al Horford trade, we don't know what's going to happen with some of the other players that we have. And the reality is that this team is going to look a little bit different, but the majority of the guys are going to be the same. The draft picks are going to be what's different. Obviously, if we could pick three or four players up in this draft pick or this draft class, I would be stoked. I mean, this would be a dream come true to have a team that is really built around this type of draft, a draft that we haven't seen in many decades, and this will be really exciting to see.
Yeah, and you know, for me, a player like Ayo is just a perfect example of why you need to go deep in a draft like this and pick up as many as you can. I don't know. I haven't felt like this about a player in a long time, where I just feel like he's going to be so overlooked that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And yes, he's 21 years old, and Sam Presti has avoided recently picking players that weren't 19 years old. But the fact is, like, at some point, those 19-year-olds, you know, are older. And so you need to be picking with their timeline. I don't know that this is that point. You know, up to this point, I've really felt like the best position is to continue to pick young players that need to spend time in the G League. But Ayo doesn't, and he just has me excited. I feel like, you know, if somebody said, oh, this guy's going to go top five, top six, I would be like, all right, that's cool. I understand it. There's no chance we're going to get him. But when they say, you know, he might go down to 22, 25, I think, man, you know, it really wouldn't cost that much to use a pick in the late first rounds to add a player that could immediately bring so much defensive intensity and really depth to your bench at a critical position.
Yeah, and the critical position that we're going to continuously need in this new NBA draft, or this new NBA, is going to be combo guards. Players that can play small forward, power forward, and center. You know, those are the type of things that we're looking at as being really the future, is players that will be able to come in and move around depending on who is on offense for them. There's a lot of different things that we look at for the futures of this team. And one of the things that I love to break down is just the possibility of each of these guys that are in this draft and how to maximize our potential. And one of the ways that Mark and I have talked about that is, let's just say we get lucky and we land the number one pick, and we're not comfortable necessarily with that number one pick. We see a lot of value more further back in the draft. We look at it like this, is that there's a team that's sitting there at number three, like Orlando Magic, that could have two top 10 picks that value Cade Cunningham and have a young asset and a large contract that are willing to trade us. There could be a really good position that we move back three places or two places and still get the player that we originally wanted, allowing another team to pick up Cade. Obviously, that would make a lot of people in Oklahoma City upset, but the reality is if we're having two top 10 picks in this particular draft, would be insane. Whether it's Suggs, whether it's Green, both Mark and I do agree that a shooting guard at this spot would probably be the best place at the 3 or 4 pick. And then allowing us to have something like an 8 pick that we can mess around with. Trading for a team that's looking at saying, hey, listen, we would like to move up in the draft and we have two 20s and we have a lottery pick as well. That could be one of those possibilities that we pick up a couple more draft picks in this draft. To me, there's so many possibilities. There's so many crazy scenarios. Even one that I ran through the other day that had us picking up a total of 3 top 6 picks in this draft and trying to figure out how we would pull that off. But the reality is there is so many crazy opportunities in this draft. There's so many amazing players in this draft that sitting back and watching how Sam Presti does this and being on the front lines like we are, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting to see, breaking down after Sam's done with his draft and why he did what he did and trying to break down the players that he drafted. And all these other things are going to be so much fun because it will give us more insight to what's happening in the Oklahoma City Thunder organization, which in turn will give you guys a whole lot more knowledge of how to break down Sam Presti's draft.
Yeah, and I'll just leave you guys with this, like with Ayo, like when I look at his game, I think, like I mentioned earlier, D-Wade, and I think of Isaiah Thomas, another great Chicago player or player from, that grew up in Chicago. The old school one, the one from the Pistons. I mean, I think this guy has a combination of those two guys. And I think the reason is because of the style of basketball that's played in Chicago. He really plays hard. He plays all out. And he plays really, really great defense. On top of that, he scores like a madman. And I love it, man. I think if you have the chance to have the next great Chicago basketball player on your team, like, you got to think about it, man. You really got to consider what that, what that means. Because these guys, like D-Wade and Isaiah Thomas, I mean, they led teams to championships. And sure, he may be overlooked, but you have to ask yourself, what more could he have done? You know what I mean? He, at 6'5", a point guard, he won the Bob Cousy Award. And, I feel like the fact that he's overlooked, it just has a lot to do with nothing that he has control over. And if he really does develop at the level he could help win a championship. There's no doubt about that. So I'm really excited about him. No matter where he goes, I'm going to be cheering for him. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us for this. I mean, we got a bunch more to talk about coming up. We're getting closer and closer to the draft lottery. But, as that happens, then we'll be able to zero in on what we think. We'll be doing our mock draft, coming up with different possibilities, and see what we come up with. So we appreciate it, and we hope you'll join us. And once again, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.